to start by telling you just a brief story about one of the scholarships that we applied to. It was a writing scholarship, and it involved writing a short story for a children's book. It was, do you have a Half-Price Books here? Is that, okay, yeah, so it was a Half-Price Books Good Night to Illiteracy contest, okay? Now, it wasn't a huge scholarship because winners got a $25 gift certificate to the Half-Price Books. But we thought it would be good practice for the kids, right? So I told my children that they had to write a short story for a children's book. I have a son who was 99% compliant, but this was one of those times when he was not. And Kevin did not want to write a short story. Frankly, he preferred to do math. And so what he did was he looked through all of his old schoolwork until he found an assignment that he had written in fifth grade. And he decided that he was going to submit that for the scholarship competition. It happened to be a short story about his love language. It was about the letter X and the letter Y and how they were balancing equations together, and it was quite adorable. So he submitted that scholarship, and he won. He won. And I thought, oh, really, son? Thank you so much for showing me your hard, hard work, right? But it ended up, it wasn't so much a story, it was a poem. And so one of the things that we found out was that this child's book, they really didn't want short stories. It said, submit your short story. But what they really wanted was rhyming poetry, right, for little kids. And that's why his poem from fifth grade was the winner. Now, what happened from that was he got that huge prize, you know, the $25 gift certificate to Half-Price Books. But they took his poem as a winner, and it was published in the 11th edition, by the way, of Goodnight to Illiteracy. And so you'll see Kevin Binns right there on that book. And so when we were going through the college application process, I was able to hand each admission advisor a hard copy book that my child was published in. Okay, so the award was not great, but the award made a huge difference in our overall scholarship because they were so impressed with him being a published author. Remember, it was his fifth grade writing assignment that was a knife to the heart. Okay, so you know that I'm talking about the real world of scholarships and how it actually works in a real homeschool family. But I also want you to know that the scholarship awards that we're going to be talking about today are not necessarily huge. We've already mentioned that I got the big scholarships for my children. They got the full tuition scholarship. Most of the big awards, most of them come directly from the college itself. Private companies, they have small amounts of money that they give for scholarships. But colleges have huge amounts of money. So there are completely different techniques about getting big scholarships. That's not what we're talking about today. I will say that there's a lot of things you can do for big scholarships that will help. With my own children, they were invited to compete at a competition for scholarships. Frankly, it was the most intimidating thing I've ever subjected my children to. It was an eight-hour, can you imagine this? Especially for the young people. Eight-hour competition for a full tuition scholarship. And they were competing with other super smart kids. And it was interesting because when they were each told to bring something that showed who they were as a person. And so my geeky mathematical son, he loves chess, right? So he brought his chess demonstration board that he teaches chess from, and he was discussing how he taught chess to the inner city and to the very elite Chinese academy, and, you know, was talking about who he was using his own geeky love language, okay? My other son loves economics and politics, So he brought a charcoal drawing that he had done of the French economist Jean-Baptiste Say, who I still do not know what the guy believes in, okay? That's okay. So he was able to talk about French, his love of the French language, his love of economics and of politics, the history of France and all that stuff. So it gave them something to talk about. We thought that was how they were going to be chosen, right? It ended up not to be true, because at the end of the competition day, the children came home and I said, how was it? Was it super scary? And they said, no, it was really fun. Everybody they saw was really nice. Do you know the children they met at that scholarship are their friends today, right? They were in their wedding. They made lifelong friends during that scholarship competition. The day we found out the results of it, I had the two boys that applied the same year and they were 2 years apart. So let's do this math as a mom. How would you feel if your older son got the scholarship and your younger one didn't? Or worse yet, the nightmare scenario, the 16-year-old gets it and the 18-year-old doesn't, okay? So we were kind of sweating bullets the whole day. We thought we were gonna find out. And about halfway through the day, we got the call, and it was for Alex, my 16-year-old. You've won. We didn't get another call. We didn't get another call. Kevin was off teaching chess. We didn't hear from him. He came home, and we had to say, you know, Kevin, I wanted to let you know Alex got the scholarship. And he said, oh, I forgot to tell you. They called me this afternoon and I won the scholarship. To an 18-year-old, it didn't even register as important. You know? it was crazy. So it's funny that the news went around our family really, really fast, and my brother-in-law called me, and, you know, we did the math. It took us like 5 minutes to do the math. It was $184,000 that it saved us, right? And so the brother-in-law calls, and he says, what are you going to do with the money? Are you going to buy an RV? And it's like, you don't understand. We didn't actually have $184,000. We needed it for them to go to college. Okay, so that's sort of my story. After the whole competition happened, I asked our admission advisor. He's actually a friend now and lives in my neighborhood now, and we got to know him quite well during the process. And I asked him, why? Why my kids? Certainly, why two Benzes out of 10 kids that were chosen with 108 applicants, right? Why? And he said, well, you know, we were evaluating children mostly on how they interacted with the other children when they thought nobody was looking. Okay? So they were chosen based on socialization, right? So when people ask you, what about college, what about scholarships, what about socialization, will you please tell them my story? I would really appreciate it, because homeschoolers have fabulous socialization, and they can win scholarships, and they can get into college, all right? So that's my pep talk. Go team, go. Now let's get into the nitty-gritty, all right? This is a very intense class. You're going to learn one particular skill about getting private scholarships. The other part about getting big scholarships, getting good admission, that's all part of my book, College Admission and Scholarships, and we're just discussing one chapter in that book today, all right? Now, I personally was able to do this because I did a lot of research when my children were in 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade, all right? So if you have a younger child, now is the right time to be doing this. If you have an older child, many of the things I'm going to be talking about today, you'll be able to easily implement and get the scholarships that are available for you, okay? One of the things that we found out was that the more time I spent researching, the more information and books that I bought, the more money that we would save in the long run. And so I found out that although it seemed like a huge chunk of change that I was putting out of the curriculum there, it actually paid off many, many, many thousands of times over. So I want you to think about using the time that you have between now and senior year to really implement these plans, all right? We discovered that you could, in fact, find private scholarships as well, although, as I mentioned, the big scholarships come from colleges, all right? And so we became very determined to find those. I spent a lot of my time doing my research in Starbucks, which is how I unfortunately developed a craving for Starbucks every morning. As my children were doing their activities and teaching chess, that's what I would do, sit in Starbucks and do my research like you're doing here. We discovered in our research that there are very many scholarships that are based on essay writing. Now, there are other scholarships that have other things, particularly YouTube is quite huge right now, hands-on projects involving YouTube. But most of them involve writing essays. So one of the best things that you can do to prepare your children is to teach them to write well, okay? There is a quick and easy program that I used. It was the IEW program. It's called the Advanced Communication Series. It has a very short video. Once your child knows how to write relatively well, you watch that video and it will teach you little secrets like find out exactly what they want and give it to them, okay? We'll be talking about that too. And then I realized that if my children were doing that writing, then that could be part of their English credit. And we didn't have to duplicate or basically do twice as much writing. We could replace our English program with this essay writing for scholarships, right? So let's do the math on that one for a minute. On average, how much do you spend on writing curriculum? Maybe on average it's $100, right, for English? Maybe, right? So instead of paying $100, we won $184,000, right? So that math works out pretty good. I was pretty happy with that. And so spending a little bit of money on a good essay writing program will help you. And then the year that you're focusing on scholarships, you don't have to buy curriculum that year. You're getting paid for English that year instead. One thing to remember is that small scholarships will often lead to bigger scholarships, which lead to the very biggest scholarships. So even though you're looking at a scholarship that may have a small reward, it can ultimately pay off in the long run, okay? So on average, I want to be absolutely upfront on this. My children worked very hard for an entire year doing this college scholarships for high school credit. They're pretty smart kids. They did the job. They were, generally speaking, obedient, compliant. And each one of them won, on average, about $2,000, okay, through this private scholarship method. Now, $2,000, I know, sounds like a lot to you right now, but when you look at the cost of college, which might be $40,000 a year, $2,000 is kind of a drop in the bucket. And that's why I've mentioned that each of these small scholarships can lead to larger scholarships later on. One of the things that you put on your transcript and course descriptions is a list of activities and awards, right? Each time they're applying to these scholarships, they may get very small awards, but they're still awards, and they still get put on that activity and awards list, okay? So, for example, we won the VFW, some patriotic essay that they wrote, and I believe that was like a $50 scholarship, but to say we won the VFW whatever scholarship and be able to put that on their activity list, by the time we were done doing all of these private scholarships, they had quite a few small scholarships that they had won that they could put on their activity list, right? Now, what colleges know is that each one of those represents work, right? The child had to be self-motivated, had to write something. It wasn't easy. They are teenagers. They're well aware of what it takes for a teenager to do that kind of work. And so they look at it as a demonstration of how hard, how much effort, how much the child wants to go to college, okay? So it's a very good thing. All right, So there are two basic kinds of colleges. There are merit scholarships, those that are given to you based on who you are, Italian, right, African American, or what you have done, like played chess or taekwondo, right? Or the talents and skills that you have that perhaps nobody else has, like your ability to write an American essay on politics or something like that, right? And then there are the small scholarships that you can get that, again, will lead to the big rewards. So as you're thinking about how do you prepare your children for college admission and scholarships, there's two big things that you need to do. Number one is to plan a rigorous curriculum. And that means that when you look at the regular college prep plan that I have on the handout, you have to exceed those expectations, right? English, colleges want to see 4 years of English. You're trying to exceed that if possible. If your child wanted to take speech and debate in addition to their English curriculum, that would exceed expectations. For math, colleges want to see 3 or 4 years of math, and you're trying to make sure that they have 4 or more years of math, which means, if possible, that they start Algebra 1 in 7th or 8th grade, if possible, right? For social studies, colleges want to see 3 or 4 years of social studies, but you can do more than that to exceed expectations. For science, they like to see 3 years of science, but one with a lab. What if you taught science every year, and each one was a lab? Now, as you're thinking about exceeding expectations, remember, you don't have to exceed it in every single area, okay? You're trying to meet expectations and then exceed expectations when you can, especially in the area of delight-directed learning for your child. So if your child likes music and they happen to rack up 3 credits of music every year, that would be a good thing. All right. The second thing that will help them prepare for scholarships is to study hard for the SAT or the ACT. Now, there are a lot of colleges. This is crazy. There's a lot of colleges that will have it right on their website that if you get a specific score on the SAT or ACT, they will automatically, without question, give you $10,000 in cold hard cash, right? So when I tell you to study for the SAT, I'm saying they will pay you $10,000 for studying for the SAT. Because if you have, let's say you have a 25 on the ACT, and all you have to do is get a 26 in order to win that $10,000, it does not take a lot of study to get that 26, right? All you have to do is get better at taking the test. You don't even have to get smarter, and you will score better the second time, okay? So that will help you. Now, the other thing that will help is good writing skills. You're trying to have writing that sounds like good literature, right? That's why reading is important. It will have that lyrical sound. It will have good vocabulary. It makes sense. And you're working on real punctuation and grammar and, you know, the stuff that maybe we find boring, but it helps us to be legible in the long run. Now, there are scholarships that are available at every age, even, you know, middle school, freshman year. They're fewer, far between, but there are the most scholarships available when your child is a junior or senior. So one of the things you want to do is to begin their scholarship writing after they actually know how to write, okay? and then you want to be thinking about taking it to the next level, and you're going to actually use their writing skills. And it actually shows teenagers the value of writing, right? Because here it is, we've been, I fondly call it the whip in the chair, right? You're standing there like a lion tamer getting them to do their English. Well, here all of a sudden they're starting to see why, right? There are rewards for doing your hard work. With English, there can be financial awards with these scholarships. So you want to encourage them to see the rewards at the end of the rainbow. Now, one of the things you can do before you get started is kind of decide how quickly do they write an essay. That's going to help you plan for the year, okay? How quickly typically, in general, can they write a really good one-page paper or two-page paper? Because then as you're doing your research on scholarships and it says it's 1,000 words, you're going to know, you know, approximately, it could take them a week, you know, after you revise and fix it up again. But if it's a 2,000-word essay, it's probably going to take them 2 weeks, you know. And you get to know in your head about how long it will take them to fill in each of those things. So there are a couple of skills that involve, once you know they know how to write well, you're going to find, filter, format, follow through, and file. And that's what we're talking about today. The first step to private scholarships is to find them. Okay? Now, the way most people find stuff is to go to Google, right? And you type in the word scholarships, and you get 4 million hits. That's not going to help you, okay? That's like way too many to choose from. Now, for that reason, it's helpful if you know two key tips. Number one is to ask your neighbors and friends in local schools, all right? Those are scholarships that are more common to your area. They may be very specific to your location, to your state, all right? So if you look around at your friends and she says, oh, he just got the Rotary Scholarship, and you're saying, I got to look up Rotary Scholarship, okay? So that's number one, is ask your friends and neighbors. Number two is to search online using specific scholarship search engines, right? I've listed a few on the handout, but I would like you to circle fastweb.com. Fastweb.com. That's the one that I felt was the easiest to use. I used the others. Now, the thing with the reason why it can take 4 million Google hits and make it more reasonable to you is because it has like an intake form. It takes about an hour or two to fill out this form with all of the interests of your child, okay? Now, there's the possibility that your children are more compliant than mine, and you could potentially have them fill out that intake form. My children are very compliant and wonderful, but they're not that compliant and wonderful, and so I filled out the intake form and put down the interests of my children, okay? Once you do that, it will give you scholarships that are a good fit. Now, from that moment, you may have 300 scholarships to choose from, which sounds a lot better. But you need to know that it would be literally impossible to write 300 essays in one school year. So you're going to have to cut that down even farther, okay? So then you're going to use this strategy that I call one strike and you're out, all right? You go through each of those scholarships. You don't get a lot of emotional attachment to anything. As you're reading it down, the very first reason that you can't apply, you just delete it, right? Now, our instinct is to say, what do you mean I have to be in public school to do this, right? Or what do you mean I have to use this just for that? And we get upset, you know? You could spend all day long arguing with these companies, but there's no point. There's 300 scholarships. You're just trying to get it down to a reasonable amount, maybe 50, so you don't need to fight over anything. One strike and you're out. The very moment it's not appropriate for your child, that's the moment that you click it off. Now, if your child is not going to enjoy writing a 250-word essay, then perhaps that's a good reason to be one strike and you're out. And you're going to decide that for my child, we're just going to focus on things that are only 1,000 words or less, because I know that's too big of a fight to be having. It's not worth it at home. Okay? So one strike and you're out. You want to eliminate anything at the very first negative. There are some scholarships that they're going to be giving you that are school specific. And so if you don't want to go to Liberty University, why would you keep that scholarship in there, right? One strike and you're out. Some of them are school specific. Some of them will require a skill that your child does not have, right? My children have lots of skills. Not one of those skills involves YouTube, okay? So that would not have been helpful for my kids. There are non-essay scholarships that you can apply for, some that are project-based, some that are art-based, many that are technology-based. So it's not just the writing that we're talking about, all right? So One strike and you're out. Remember that if you are using something that's not English-based, you can still use those projects for high school credit. You would just put it in a different class. It might be part of your art class. It could be part of your technology class, right? So you'll still be giving them high school credit for that. And then you want to kind of weigh that cost-benefit analysis, all right? You're looking at this scholarship, and it says it's 3,000-word essay, right? And the award is $100, all right? Who would go through that pain for a 3,000-word essay for $100? And so you're kind of weighing the pros and cons of it. Now, remember that the small scholarships can add up to big ones. If your child can write a 3,000-word paper, maybe it's a perfect fit for them, right? But it would have taken a lot of delight-directed learning topics for my child to write that much, okay? The next thing that you want to be doing is to format those into a way that makes sense. And usually what that means is you're putting them in the order that they are due, all right? So you're organizing, maybe you have 50 left after the time you filter them all out, and you put them in the order that they're due. You can do that automatically on the website, by the way. And so it can be helpful if your child does not get distracted online to print these out. So you have printed instructions. Otherwise, they might fall into the great abyss that we call the Google, all right? So you want to print it out and have that information. Now, as you're looking at the due date, there's a couple of things you have to remember. It's not just writing the paper that's involved. They also have to fill out the application that goes with the paper, and then they have to submit what it is they did or wrote and get it there in time. So if they're saying, here's a 10-page application form, and we want it mailed in the mail, and it has to arrive by this due date, then you're going to have to plan ahead to get it far in advance. Now, I will say that a couple of years I was on a scholarship choosing committee, and we preferred scholarships that sent it to us much earlier. We had the opportunity to read it. We've developed quite a fondness for each of the children that wrote these. They were wonderful, you know. You get closer to the deadline and the more frantic you get. And frankly, the worse the quality coming in. So I would really encourage you to turn it in well in advance. By the way, one year I was doing that scholarship, I think it was $1,500. It might have been a $2,000 scholarship. And we had two to give away and there was only one applicant. Okay. So remember to submit these things. Okay. So you're going to sort by due date, and you're going to kind of get that information organized for your child so they have enough time to do the writing, fill out the application, mail it in, and be early. All right? Each of the assignments that they do is going to replace another homeschool assignment. All right? So let me say that again for all the moms. I know the children are all tuned in right now, right? You mean I don't have to do my regular schoolwork. Woo! So I'm going to say this not for the children, but for the moms. Every time they fill out one of these scholarships, their project or writing will replace something else they do in school. So if they're writing a research paper, this will replace the research paper. And if they are doing a technology assignment, this can replace that. All right? Okay, so make sure you allow enough time during the school day. Now, the next step is follow through. This is where the children need to look me in the eye, okay? Your mom or dad can do all of the work. They can fill out your intake form. They can choose the scholarships. They can do all of this, put it in order, allow you plenty of time, but only the student can do the work, okay? And so it totally is up to you to actually get the job done. Now, one thing that will help is to imagine yourself with all of this Monopoly money, right? And you're sitting there for an hour, here's $2,000. You sit there for another hour, here's another $2,000, right? There is a financial benefit for those children who are very eager to go to college. Do remember that every scholarship that you apply to gets you one more step to freedom, okay? And you will be able to live on your own if you do the work right now, okay? Now, I will say that children have a different perspective on essay prompts than adults do, all right? So your parents can help you think through the essay prompt. I know that one time my children, they saw an essay on diversity, and they didn't feel that they were qualified to write on diversity because, frankly, they're a couple of white dudes, okay? And so we were talking about how, no, son, it's not the color of your skin, it's your interaction with the whole community at large, right? Well, it had never dawned on my son that when he was teaching in the inner city, that he might be interacting with people of different socioeconomic statuses, different races. It never dawned on him. When he was teaching at the Chinese Academy, never dawned on him. So I, as the adult, was able to say, well, actually, dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun, you know? So you're going to be thinking through these topics. One of the things that can happen is, this is a great opportunity to teach your children the skill of brainstorming, right? Where all answers are correct, you're just saying what comes to your mind. Let's write down 5 ideas for this particular essay, right? Once you have done that, then the child writes the essay. Very important that the child writes the essay. The next step is for the parent to go through the essay and correct it like it's an English paper, all right? And by that I mean, you're circling misspellings, you're saying there's a duplicate word, you're saying watch your punctuation, I don't understand this section, sweetheart, right? Or as we would do, huh? Right on the paper, huh? And so you want to have them implement those changes that you have made. Now, I did have one parent come to me and say, isn't that cheating? It's supposed to be from, you know, the student. But no, that's not the case. They are supposed to get some outside information, a secondhand opinion, and implement those changes. You're not telling them how to make those changes. You can give them suggestions, but it all comes from them. What you can't do is write the essay for them because they will know. I mean, we moms do not write like a teenager, right? So they will know. Try to eliminate things like smiley emoticons, heart shapes, things like that. You try to avoid that. Now, the essay, when it's done, should be technically perfect, right? Which in our world means you did a spell check on work, right? Picks up the double spaces, any misspellings. Somebody has read it a final time to make sure. A tip for those of you with younger children, it helps if you can enlarge the font and read it out loud. We would often enlarge the font to even 16. You'd be amazed what you can pick up when the font is that large and reading it out loud. And you will pick up spelling problems that you had no idea were there. Okay? So, as you're writing these things, remember to focus on learning, not winning, because you don't really have a lot of guarantees on whether or not they're going to win. You can only help them to learn, so this is a learning opportunity for them, all right? And even though they may write the perfect scholarship, that doesn't mean they're going to win. We had one scholarship that we applied to. We were absolutely devastated when Alex didn't win. There's nobody that likes economics and politics as much as my son. There's nobody that knows so much about American history as my son. And I mean, it was like a 3,000-word essay. It was a $20,000 scholarship. It was perfect. His essay was perfect. And we didn't win, you know? It was a big ticket scholarship. They had thousands of applicants. There were a lot of smart applicants, I'm sure, and we didn't win. So there's no guarantees that you're gonna be, you know, winning any of those things. All right, the next step is to file the scholarships. You wanna take the projects, the writing that they've done, and you're going to file that into your course descriptions and incorporate it into your class and into your course descriptions. So, for example, my son wrote another 2,500 word essay on economics specifically. That was where he got his $2,000. It was published in an adult magazine. The other two winners, winner number two and winner number three, were graduate students, and my son was 16. Not that I'm proud. I'm just saying, he's awesome. Okay, so, so that was the scholarship that he won. But anyway, you take what they have done, winning or not, and you include that into your course description. So, for example, that was our economics paper that he wrote for the year. All right. Now, if you have looked over this paper that carefully, and your child has won pretty much anything based on their writing, when they are asked by a college, would you please submit a writing sample? That's a really good writing sample to give. All right. For my comprehensive records, when we were creating our course descriptions, we also provided three writing samples for each of my children. One of them was a research paper. Alex gave his economics paper that had been published. The other one was something more like poetry, which is what when Kevin submitted his Goodnight to Illiteracy math poem. And then we would give them something that was more creative, a regular assignment type thing. So we found that to be really helpful because all of a sudden it wasn't just me saying, oh, I think this is pretty good, right? But it was some scholarship committee saying, oh, this is really good, all right? So that can help you to fill out your portfolio. If they're doing something that is not English-based, then you just pretend like it was their art project for the week, and you can list that on their course description. I'm getting a couple confused looks about course descriptions, so let me give you a brief overview. Is that what we all need? Here, yeah, there's not a good. Okay, so a course description is helpful for every high school class that you teach, and what it will often look like is the title of the class, a one-paragraph descriptive essay about what you taught, a list of what you used, and some sort of description of how you graded. Okay? Now, a quick reminder, we've been talking today about writing a 2,000-word descriptive essay, and I'm telling you as the mom, you only have to write a one-paragraph descriptive essay. So although you may feel like you don't want to do it, and you shouldn't have to do it, and life isn't fair, that's how your child feels too, and they're writing 2,000 words. Okay? So, let's remember that our assignment is significantly smaller than our child's assignment. Okay? So again, a course description would have a paragraph description, a list of what they used, and a description of how you graded them. All right? So for example, in after you've contributed something to a scholarship committee, you would take that the name of the essay and you could put it right down there in your grading criteria. And you would say poetry, right? You give him 100% because he submitted it, and lo and behold, it won, even though he wrote it in fifth grade, and I'm still angry about it, all right? So you put all of that information onto your course description. Now, remember that each high school credit is 120 to 180 hours of work. And for English, that means about 1 hour a day of writing, half an hour to an hour a day of writing, and a half an hour to an hour a day of reading. So when they are doing this as their essay writing program, it can easily become your high school credit in total. All they have to do is read books for fun in addition. Okay? Now, often some of those essays will be about books. There's a really good Jane Austen scholarship. My son applied for that too. He loves Jane Austen. And so you can read the Jane Austen novel and then you write the book. By the way, if you've only watched the movie, they will know. These are very smart Jane Austen people, not your average Jane Austen people. All right. So if they've been working 1 hour a day, if you, you know, have your whip in your chair, you're making them sit there for an hour a day writing those essays, That is going to be their high school credit. Also, you want to make sure that you list their awards on the activities and awards list that you have separately. All right? Now remember, there are winning benefits and non-winning benefits. I know I had a lot of experience thinking through what the non-winning benefits are. So let me tell you what I've learned. If you do not win, you still have earned high school credit, right? You didn't have to buy a certain curriculum. Your children actually worked hard. They learned how to write an essay. They did write an essay. They learned application skills, right? They're going to have to apply for a job at some point. They're going to have to fill those things out. They've been doing this over and over and over. It becomes familiar. Nothing will scare them anymore, right? They'll learn the value of their skills. They'll learn the value of writing. Here's another really big non-winning benefit. You have just written perhaps 10 essays this year. During senior year, you have to write so many college application essays. You can use everything that you wrote. If they ask you to describe a book that you love, and you've already written that essay on the Jane Austen Pride and Prejudice, you use that one. If they ask you to describe a hero of history that you have loved, you could use that essay on the French economist Jean-Baptiste Say, right? So all of the things that they've written can be tweaked to use for your college application essays, right? Now, I will say it does not end there. These essays can be used over and over again. I know that at one point, a certain unnamed son became quite desperate when he was in college and dusted one off and submitted it for a college paper. Another son decided he was going to apply for a master's program, dusted off his scholarship essays, submitted it to the master's program, and he's in getting his advanced degree now. His wife would like to get pregnant. He's still in school, but it's okay. I'm okay. I don't have grandchildren, but I'm okay. All right. And then, of course, there are the winning benefits, the awards, first of all, the financial awards. Also, being published. You have no idea what a huge deal it is to be published in anything. One of my children had an op-ed piece in the Seattle Times published. It was just a huge deal to the colleges. So everything that you can do to get published by a magazine, a children's book, a children's magazine, a newspaper, anything, can make a huge difference. Okay? Now I want you to remember that this is not the big source of scholarships that we won. I know that other people have won huge amounts of cash by doing this, but it did not happen to me. There are other ways to get scholarships that you can consider. Focus on scholarships from the colleges directly. They have more money to give away. You can also prepare your child really well for college admission by having their test scores as high as possible, their GPA as high as possible. You can study hard for the SAT or ACT. All the children are rolling their eyes right now. You want me to whoop? Study hard for the SAT or ACT. Make sure that you don't skimp on your record keeping. A lot of people will tell me that their transcript looked beautiful and got them into college, but they were surprised that they didn't see more scholarship money. Most scholarship money will come by proving the academic rigor of your homeschool, and that's what a course description is all about. One mom, actually a month ago, she wrote to me with the final amount of her scholarships, and it was huge. It was like $140,000 in scholarships. And she said, you know, I felt like I worked on my course descriptions for a longer period of time than when I was pregnant for 9 months, right? It was hard work. But she said she literally did the math, and it paid her $1,400 per hour. working on her course descriptions, right? Now, I hear these kinds of stories a lot. It's not just her, but that the course descriptions, yes, are hard work, but they really pay off for mom. You know, we've been talking about these private scholarships for children and how they understand the value of their writing and the financial award for writing. But for the parent, filling out their course descriptions that gives you the ability to write and work hard and see that financial benefit in your pocket, because every dollar that you save on college is a dollar you don't have to pay. It's a big deal. All right, now I will give you a couple of the biggest tips for big scholarships. If nothing else, I want you to remember this, all right? Number one is to apply to at least 4 to 8 colleges, a mix of public and private universities, all right? Everybody's going to gasp right now because all the air is going to be gone from the room, but the cost of a private university and a public university is often the same. Once you apply and you get your admission and scholarships, it's usually dollar for dollar about the same, public and private university, okay? So you apply to 4 to 8 schools, a mix of public and private. The next big tip is to apply on time and accurately. You would be amazed at how many people wait till the very last minute to apply. The earlier you can apply, the more they will like you. I was explaining this to somebody while I was standing in my booth. My booth is right next to the Liberty University. And I said, look at the people behind me, right? They're young people. They have little children. Their babies are up screaming all night. They're newly married. Their wife wants them home. Will you come home? I want to go out and have fun tonight, right? These are young people. When you apply early, they may have to read only 10 applications that day. Even if their baby was up crying all night, they can get through 10 applications. They will like you more. They are not that grouchy. If you wait until the last minute, it's very common for them to have 1,000 applications to read through. That gives them maybe 2, 3, 4 minutes per application. They're working 18-hour days. They don't like you as much when you apply them. So one of the biggest tips to getting good scholarships is to make them like you. Apply early, all right? So what I tell people is, no matter what happens, the first day of senior year, you start your college applications. Here's the good part. All my children are going to love me now. If you need to, you put school totally aside, right? No other school takes place until those applications are submitted, all right? You want to make sure all applications are turned in by before Thanksgiving. Once Thanksgiving happens, that's when most kids sit down and buckle down and start their applications. So after Thanksgiving, those essays start rolling in. The applications are rolling in, and it gets really, really busy. So you're trying to get everything turned in before Thanksgiving, okay? All right, so carefully weigh your options too. There are other things that can save money. One thing is to live at home or with other family members. Often the cost of room and board is almost as much as tuition. So you wanna be looking carefully at that live at home option. Make sure you apply to a few schools that are close enough to do that. You can also consider homeschooling college, right? You can use CLEP exams or AP exams or online schools that are much cheaper. That's another option. Finally, you can also consider community college. If you're doing community college while you're in high school, it's called dual enrollment. After high school, we just call it community college. There is one thing that you need to know, though. Community college is a rated R environment. It's an environment that is intended for adult learners. It is not meant for children. And what that means is when somebody has been released from an offender program, this is where they get their education to go back out into the field. So I've actually had community colleges come to me, knowing I work with teenagers and their parents, and say to me, please tell your families that their 16-year-old daughters are sitting next to a registered offender. There's no requirement for them to tell anybody. This is an adult learning environment, okay? Everything that they do is based on helping adults learn, right? The movies that they show are adult movies that will keep the interest of an adult. The books that they are reading are adult books that will keep the attention of adults, right? There are times when community college is very appropriate for families. But what I'm seeing right now is a huge fad, right? A lot of peer pressure, mom to mom, I really think you should do this. So what I want you to remember is to listen for the word but, right? Because usually your friends will say, oh, it's fabulous. We got this and that and the other thing and the other thing. And the only thing I really noticed was, okay, or I loved it, but for this one thing, right? Listen to what they say after that. Just put this other, the good stuff aside. Listen to what they say after that and ask yourself, would you have put your child into public high school if they had said that that occurred, okay? Often, I deal with a lot of families that are Christian. Many of them will tell me, I would never send my child to a public university. They're going to private university, private Christian school, and so we're doing dual enrollment so that they can afford that, okay? So what happens is the environment of the community college is often a worse environment than the public university that they're trying to avoid, okay? So I'm telling you, you are the parent. You know best your situation. You know when community college is appropriate, and I'm not going to tell you what is right or wrong. But I do want to come against this peer pressure, right, this fad from community college, just so you know the other half of the story so that you can think it through with all of the information that you have, okay? All right, so I wanted to just say one more time that this is one chapter from my book, College Admission and Scholarships. It is usually $25. It's on sale for $20 today, and I do have that $5 coupon. If you did not get the coupon, they're on the way out. If you need help with your course descriptions, this book is on setting the record straight. It's on transcripts and course descriptions, and it can give you plenty of examples on how to write course descriptions, whether you use tests or curriculum, or if you're an unschooler and you never have given your child a test, okay? The other thing is, if you have a very young high schooler, this is a four-hour DVD on how to homeschool high school. 4 hours. It can really help you if you have like a 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th grader to just kind of wrap your head around it. The coupon today is for $5 off any one product. This DVD, I accidentally have 100 too many, all right? Which, by the way, there are not even 100 people here. I really need to sell these. They sell for $60 on Amazon. There are $20 today. You can use your coupon. Please, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot carry it on the plane, because my third box cost me $165 per box on the plane. Okay? So, if you love me, please pay someone to wait. Okay? So, I do have 5 minutes for questions, and I'd love to take any questions. Yes?
First of all, booth number?
Okay, my booth number is 224.
Okay.
224.
Second of all, I had a friend, and I found out that there's a week, I think, in the spring that they do a private college tours.
Yes.
And if you do 3 private colleges, then they will give you a voucher for the application cost of 3 colleges of your choice.
Okay.
Public and private.
Right. And so her comment was that there are private college tours that if you go on and you see 3 private colleges, you will get a voucher for the application. That is often the case. If you go to a college and you set up an official visit, you can say, will you waive the application fee for me? And they will almost always do that. Visiting colleges is absolutely crucial, right? That is one of the chapters, how to visit a college in this book. It's absolutely crucial. I know that here we are on the East Coast where people are not very familiar with Texas. One example is Texas Christian University. It's usually in the top 10 rated party schools by the wonderful magazine Playboy, all right? Texas Christian University. My children go to a Christian university in Seattle that doesn't even have the name Christian in their name. The name of the college means nothing. You have to visit, okay? And when you visit, ask them for a waiver. Yes?
Some transcript books and advice givers say, no, just bullet page one. So you're saying this course description is included with the transcript.
Good question. All right, so some experts will say that you have just a brief transcripts, and then I'm saying have something longer. So actually, both are true. It's kind of like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, all four are true. And so the way that it is you have that one-page transcript that is the yes, no, she's in, she's out, admitted, not admitted, right? But you're not trying to get admitted. You're trying to get scholarships. And that's why you have to prove the academic rigor, right? So what I tell people is then you have this course description package. Maybe it's 10 pages, maybe it's 50 pages, but it's separate from the transcript. I had a lot of information on mine, so I did have mine spiral bound by Staples. It was pretty cheap, right? And I laid the transcript on top. This package was underneath, and some of the colleges would use it and some wouldn't. That wasn't my job. My job was to present it. It was very interesting because my children applied to four colleges each. One of the public universities denied them application because they hadn't met their foreign language requirement. And I had them look at our course descriptions, and they read the three descriptions for the foreign languages that they had, and then they came back and gave us admission and gave us their best scholarship. Okay, so I know, and that was a college that said they didn't want the course descriptions. Okay, so I know that it was very effective for me. Now, there were some colleges that would look at the information and nod approvingly, right? It was as if they wanted to know that I was the kind of homeschooler that would have that information, and they didn't care what was in it. And then there were other colleges that would read it word for word. And then, of course, that one college that read just my foreign language ones, right? You don't really know how the information is going to be used. You don't know if your son's score is going to be so high on the SAT that they don't care. When you're preparing this stuff, you don't even know if your daughter's going to be the National Merit Scholarship and you know, all bets are off, she's just in. You don't know any of that. All you know is that you need to be providing this information because we could not afford college without it. I could not have afforded college without it. In the back? The handouts are on the HEAVE website, so you'll find the information there. Young lady?
You said that some scholarships are exclusive to public schools.
Yes.
I will be taking a class at my local high school. Will I be able to apply to those as a public schooler?
Okay, that's an excellent question. This young lady is taking a class at the public high school, so would she be able to apply to some of the scholarships that are available to public schoolers only? It would depend on the scholarship, but for your case, you would be reading farther along to see if anything else excluded you, right? And then just apply. If it looks like it's a good fit, and you can do the project or write the essay, and it's not, you know, horribly hard for you to do, I would go ahead and apply. Usually with these private scholarships, they are, the awards are given by people like me, right? Just normal, ordinary humans reading these scholarships who just say, close enough, you know, that's good, I'm good. So read it. I will say one tip that will help you is that after you've written it and then you've edited it, try to find somebody else who's won and look at their example from that scholarship. You will get all sorts of keys. You'll know this person choosing this award really likes short paragraphs, right? So we're going to make short paragraphs. Had I done that, I would have known that they like to have lyrical poetry rather than a short story for the Goodnight to a Literacy book, and that would have helped as well.